It's been a harrowing morning for Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, hello to you. Was it mainly energy and water facilities that got hit today?
We don't know yet fully. And good afternoon from Ukraine, Bob from Kharkiv. It was not just a harrowing morning. It was a harrowing night last night. At some point, it was probably about 11 o'clock. There's two massive sounds, which sounded like missiles hitting very close to the center of Kharkiv, closer than I've heard before, I think, for these missiles. And even immediately, within minutes, friends across the country in Lviv had heard about this, you know, and everyone's texting to make sure everyone's okay. So I can't quite report what exactly happened. I mean, as always, when there are Russian attacks, the Ukrainian air defense, you know, works increasingly better. But there are missiles that get through, and that's what happened last night here in Kharkiv. And you know, it's scary, you know. And really, every time this happens, it's strange. In a way, you get used to it, but in a way, I feel the evil coming closer and closer. And so it was a sleepless night for many hours. But then, you know, like everyone here, as I said yesterday, you just decide, okay, you got to go to bed, you know, and you know, you just kind of hope you wake up and everything's fine. And then this morning, thanks to your listeners that so swiftly donated money, we were able to purchase, you know, basic food supplies to bring to a recently liberated village. And so our Ukrainian Freedom News team, with our friends from our wild, crazy, brave friends from the Hero Society, they're actually sitting around right now. We're at a restaurant in Kharkiv after our mission this morning. So they're here. They're here with me right now. These are volunteers. They've been in Ukraine since March and going to the extreme zones to help people, to evacuate people. It's a group of Ukrainians, Canadians, French, and other people. And we went with thanks to the support of your listeners, we bought a bunch of food. And we drove to a village that was 2 miles from Russia. And, you know, the destruction that you see as you get closer and closer to the border. And, you know, these are places that until last month, they had been occupied for 7 months, 7 months of hell. And as we entered the village in English on the barricade at the entrance to the village, it said in English, "Welcome to hell." Although, as my colleague and friend here, Vitaly, said, he's like, no, now it's paradise, because it's once again, it's under Ukrainian control. And Vitaly, by the way, is the one, I told you his story a month ago when we were in that Soltivka neighborhood of Kharkiv, and he was the one that took us to his building, which has been destroyed, and he was laughing, you know, because the emotions are so hard to process, and he was laughing in the ruins of his building. Whenever you ask, how are you? He says, I very feel. And I think that's how we're all feeling today, because Bob, the moment we're in the town square today, in this little village whose name I should not mention. And we're giving out all the, it's thanks to your listeners, we're passing out pasta and whole grains and, cooking oil and water, and all these mainly elderly people who stayed behind in the village. They're surrounding us. So grateful and happy to try to speak English. And they're so grateful for these, for what we were able to bring them. And I just posted a video. If you listen, just want to go later today at UkrainianFreedomNews.com, you can see we're talking, and then all of a sudden you hear the artillery fire. And, if you look at it, you see in the video, me and our team, you know, we all, you know, you duck, you shake, you know, it's terrifying. And I was talking at that moment with two, elderly women, and they didn't move at all. They kept talking. The lady was telling me her story in Ukrainian and unfazed by it. And then she looked at me and she winked and she said, "Nestrasno," which means not scary, because she knew that sound that we heard at that moment was Ukrainian artillery. And so you see this incredible, they've been through so much, but the incredible bravery. And then right after that, we went into the city hall, which is, you know, covered in sandbags. And, you know, the whole time, Bob, because there's no warning if there's artillery fire or even a missile coming from Russia to hit. And the Russians, you know, out of frustration at losing these territories, they continue to hit all these places every day and night. So we went into the city hall to meet with the mayor. Mayor Ludmila is her name. And I had an amazing interview with her. I said, "What was it like to live under occupation for 7 months?" And she, you know, before that, she was a very cheerful woman. But when I asked her that question, she closed her eyes. She was filled with tears. And she said, "It was not life. It was not life at all. She said she's never been in prison, but she thinks prison must be better. And they lived in total perpetual fear. Then the day in September when we had, you know, Ukrainians had that amazing Kharkiv offensive, the Russians began to flee, but the Ukrainian army had not yet arrived in this village. And this woman, the mayor, Ludmila, incredibly brave, she went outside with her Ukrainian flag that she'd kept secretly hidden, and she raised it on the flagpole and as a signal to everyone, you know, Ukraine is back. And the Russians had convinced a lot of people who live in the village, you know, a lot of the elderly people, that somehow if they didn't leave with the Russians, that they were going to be killed. And so these scared old people fled with the Russians, but they were able to see on social media that the Ukrainian flag was flying over their village. And so the mayor told us that these people, you know, it's only 2 miles from Russia, but they traveled all the way through Lithuania and Europe to come back home within a week. That's how much they love their homeland, even though, I mean, the whole village, I mean, so much of it's destroyed. There's no grocery store or anything. And the last anecdote, I guess, for this is we went into the Russian camp. They occupied, I actually met the guy who owned the property. They occupied his shop. The Russians had a torture chamber and a jail for Ukrainian partisans, anyone that they thought, you know, was patriotic for Ukraine. And Bob, we went down there, you know, the whole time while we're going down there, you know, you could be hit at any moment. You know, it's complete uncertainty. And the place was filled with empty beer bottles, drug paraphernalia. You know, I've been in many Ukrainian camps. You know, they're organized and orderly. This is just destruction and trash everywhere. And you can see that they left in a hurry. I mean, we got some loot, some Russian gas masks and other things that they abandoned. But you just see that it's a society of destruction. And it was so sad to see. But you feel the sense of these are people that maybe have never known any beauty in their life. You know, it's funny, the Russian writer Dostoevsky said beauty will save the world. And I don't think these Russians have ever seen anything lovely and good and true. And that's what we saw in that camp. And they tortured Ukrainians for these 7 months of occupation. And so it was a wild morning, and you know, we all survived, and we're back in Kharkiv, which Kharkiv was also hit today. And you know, this doesn't end. It's difficult, you know, but I told the people in the village, I said, in my bad Ukrainian, I said, all of these gifts are from the people of Chicago. And so I'll send you the video later, but we have everyone saying thank you to the people of Chicago, because we all stand together in this.
Joseph, we're grateful to you, not only for your reporting, but giving us the opportunity to help. And again, that's UkrainianFreedomNews.com. We'll also post all of our conversations with Joseph and information on our WGNRadio.com website. And until tomorrow, peace.
Thank you, Bob.